This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Richard Allen going to be seeing a courtroom very soon, supposedly. I mean, the things have changed multiple times over the course of this case. May 13th is when jury selection begins because they're exercising their right to a speedy trial. We'll see how prepared the state is at that point in time. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Were you surprised? I mean, Gall, the judge in this, she approved this, but at the end of the day, she really had no discretion to deny it either, to have this speedy trial take place. Are you surprised?
Surprise is and this whole case is nothing but surprise. Yeah. I'd say the more accurate word for me on this one is relieved.
Yeah.
This really needs to go to trial now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm relieved that Allen might get his day in court. He's due it. I'm hoping the parents and here's the tricky thing on this one. We want to see justice done for Allen, but at the same time, there's so much time passed. These parents need to be made whole, at least start on that process. Yeah. of the two girls, which if Allen's found innocent, there's still an empty gap in their lives. They don't know what happened. And so I'm very interested in this case. I know we have been for a while. I am really looking forward to seeing what we find out when prosecution says what they got.
Yeah.
And whether it's complete, whether it's accurate. I mean, it's just going to be a really interesting case to follow. And I'm glad that Gull couldn't do anything to stop the speedy trial yet.
Yet. Yeah, that's the key word. There was another filing this morning I just learned about for another Franks hearing. We'll see if that gets recognized or if she approves it or just says, nope, we're going to trial. Either way, we're going to see a courtroom very soon with a lot of evidence being laid out. It's very disconcerting when you think of it this way. If, in fact, Richard Allen is innocent and he's found innocent, I mean, either way, he's getting a second trial if he's found guilty with everything that's gone on. But if he is found innocent, that means all these years of local law enforcement saying, this is our guy, completely thrown out the window. And all those years that they could have been looking and trying to find the actual person, if we assume that he's innocent, also gone out the window. And we're back at square one. And those parents wondering who killed our kids.
Yeah. And that's the tragedy in this entire thing is all the missteps, perceived missteps. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll find out during a trial, the perceived missteps of local law enforcement, the prosecution, the entire system out there, which you're supposed to have trust and confidence in. And right now we don't because of all those missteps. And at the bottom, at the very base of this, it's the parents of the two little girls that are still the ones hurting and grieving, and everyone else is just dealing with the aftermath of incompetence.
And that's what this is all about at the end of the day. We lose focus of that sometimes. It's easy to with all of the bizarre missteps. Nick McClelland, who is the prosecutor on this case, sitting there filing motions for a while about getting mental health records from Richard Allen. The problem with that is that the mental health records he was trying to get were filed under seal and were not for him to see. Mm. He filed a motion to get those, and then, oops, in theory, if we're playing by the rules, I shouldn't even know that you have this information. So how am I requesting information that I shouldn't know you had? And now has withdrawn his most recent request for those mental health records because, yeah, he shouldn't have even known it. It's baffling to see the missteps behind the scenes that just get so publicly made. There's no reason he would have had access to this information or known it unless someone's giving it to him behind the scenes. How are we going in? I mean, I don't think we are going into this trial with a whole lot of faith that things are being played on the up and up. In terms of what the prosecution has access to versus the defense, clearly example right there. How are we to any way expect that Richard Allen is going to get a fair trial?
I have no idea. Everything seems like such a cabal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like there's this entire, you hit it really well at the very top of the clip where you said, and if he's found guilty, he's going to be going to trial twice. Mm-hmm. Yes. The amount of appeals he's going to be able to, his defense team is going to be able to file if he's found guilty is, I can't imagine him not having another trial after this cabal, the perceptionist cabal. And like we said, if he's found innocent because of all these, because then you got that whole side. Is he found innocent because of the incompetence of prosecution or because he actually is innocent?
Yeah.
You know, just because you're found innocent doesn't mean you didn't do the crime in a lot of cases as well. So you there's so much here that these poor families have to still deal with. I keep coming back to that as the baseline. And we don't have faith in the system because they have shown time and time again to be completely perception-wise, which rules the day when you're having faith in structures and organizations of law is really the bottom line. And we don't have faith in it out there right now.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.